This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN on a Thursday, January 8th. Hopefully everything is going smoothly for you here on the second day now of 2026. Lots to talk about. Grizzlies game last night, I don't know. Maybe the things going on around the Grizzlies. A much more interesting discussion, because what happened on the court last night, let's be real. Grizz hammered by Phoenix, probably knew it was coming, probably expected one in that set of back-to-back against the Spurs and the Phoenix Suns, and last night was not competitive, obviously 117-98. We'll get into that and maybe a little bit more, obviously, like we said, about what's going on around the Grizzlies. Ja Morant did not play. So we will discuss. Hawks, they did it. They traded Trae Young. We'll talk about that. Tigers, Charles Huff told me he got a quarterback. Gunslinger. I want to know more about him. We'll do that. And how about this? Dolphins fire Mike McDaniel. For a second they were keeping him.
Indeed.
We asked, could the Dolphins have been the team that at the time had a head coach but also contacted John Harbaugh about his interest? And they fire him a day later. Is there a connection? Yes? No? We'll discuss.
Well, I mean, I think we're all adults here.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean it.
It is.
Has to mean that John's involved.
I believe rap sheet, somebody has reported that they expect contact to be made very soon.
Well, they said contact was made. I think Josina Anderson had it first yesterday.
Yeah.
After little CJ, remember?
Yeah, I think they're definitely connected. I mean,
so they've contacted him,
because they were. I believe, but, what does it wasn't it reported that Mike McDaniel was being retained? Like, wasn't that?
I don't know if Ross had ever come out and said that. I mean,
right.
I think you have to have that. And you remember, the GM has been fired there, so they've got an open GM spot. But I think that was the assumption, because McDaniel had been asked, "Do you expect to have your job?" They'd had a press conference, and he said, "Yes, we had that."
Yeah, NFL Network reported 2 days ago that the Dolphins were expected to retain Mike McDaniel. Ian Rappaport said, my understanding is that that was Mike McDaniel's quote. Ian Rappaport reported that team owner Stephen Ross is expected to retain McDaniel.
And McDaniel said he thought he was coming back.
And then, of course, John Harbaugh comes available. And I don't know if that job is better than the Giants, for example.
Exactly. The attraction to Miami, I know that, you know, Ross is a Michigan man.
Right.
John's brother is a Michigan man. You know, Jim also turned it down.
Yeah. But, again, John's out there, so I don't know. Interesting situation.
I do. I probably think they're connected.
Sure. But I would guess, if I looked this up
on
Kalshi, that he would be the favorite right now. John Harbaugh would be the favorite to be the Dolphins head coach. We can actually look that up as we speak.
Interesting stuff.
I'm pretty sure that's, you know, whether he takes it or not is two different things, but it seems like, you know, that's the change that they wanted to make. So, anyway, a lot to get to on the show today. John Harbaugh is the favorite, by the way, +112 to be the next Dolphins head coach.
Hey.
It's not a great candidate pool out there this year. So, if you can get him, you have to try to get him.
Must be a lifetime deal, man, because they don't have the QB right now, and their cap situation's a mess. So, obviously, he has to be comfortable.
Yeah, most definitely. Big show today. Drew Hill's going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him. About the Grizzlies. They go down last night to the Phoenix Suns. We're really, really never in it. Dylan Brooks going crazy. We'll hear from him in just a little bit. Had some very interesting things to say about the Grizzlies organization after the win. Again, like you mentioned, no Ja Morant for three in a row now?
Yeah, the second time he was, questionable and then downgraded. You know, they said
game
time decision. He didn't come out, didn't do the, you know, the shoot around like Jaren did, who had also had the illness. He decided Santi did. Ja did not. So, very interesting stuff.
There
at this
point. It is. I mean, I
said if you sat him for a second straight game when it appeared. Yeah, we're talking about the calf contusion, not
correct.
Calf strain.
Correct.
Different here. Contusion is what to you. So,
yep.
We can go back and keep saying, well, this part of the calf strain or not. It's more than interesting at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Antenna are up.
It feels like it's become a situation.
Real.
Yep.
We're in the you know the monitor room.
Who's stopping it? Is it the Grizzlies saying no, you don't need, or is it Jav?
Right.
Either way, be nice to have some sort of answer here. I think you know the more this goes on, the more questions will be raised, and the more they'll be asked at some point to answer them.
Right.
And Atlanta made their deal.
Which was, you know, somewhat informative, potentially, if the Grizzlies decide to do that with Ja Morant. Yeah. They didn't have to attach a pick, obviously. Now,
yeah, that was the big thing for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that return was quite laughable.
Yeah.
I mean, but that just goes to show you how much they were trying to get off of him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's flexibility, because those contracts will expire, and all of a sudden, they got all kind of money.
Yeah.
Now, if this, you know, Shams had mentioned going after AD.
Yep.
Now, I don't necessarily like that plan, but I love where they're at. Remember, they got the Pelicans pick.
Yep.
That's going to be a good one.
Yep. Very good one.
That's
for
sure.
They're set up getting off Trey.
They are. And, you know, the Wizards were happy to take him off. I guess from their perspective, worst case scenario is he's got a player option. In a year, we'll have a $50 million spot.
Yeah.
I don't think the Wizards are going anywhere anytime soon. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens here. And if that's a little bit of foreboding for the Grizzlies in terms of, you know, what it's going to look like if you ever did move off of Ja Morant. You know, if and when that happens. So we'll get into that with Drew Hill at 11:25. And then Bennett Doyle for the final time
is
going to join us at 1:25. We're obviously moving. And so from 9 to noon, he would also be on the air in his day job. So this will be our last hit with Bennett on the show. And, you know, we'll have a good time like we always do. So he'll join us at 1:25. So that is the show today. But let's do a little thing we call over-under.
Let's start with Dylan Brooks. Lies told by Dylan Brooks. 0.5.
Dylan had a great night last night. He came to Memphis, got the win.
Got some shots up, too.
Sure did. I'm sure he was excited about that.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, he talked about his time in Memphis and his thoughts on the direction of the franchise. And this is sort of what the statement here is referring to. So let's have a listen, and then we'll determine how many lies Dylan Brooks told.
When you look at this Grizzlies team, there's two guys on it that you played with, and obviously there's a big transition. Is that weird to look at the team now and be like, everybody except for a couple of guys is gone?
You know, there's still I play with Ja, Jaren, Santi, John Conchar. Brandon Clark. Team's still the same. I just think they move too fast. Especially when I was there, when Dez was there, Steve was there. I think they moved too fast, trying to be reinventive too fast, and kind of bite him in the butt a little bit. And now they got to work and play off of others. That's not their fault. You gotta be willing to have communication and have trust in the players who play hard for you. And I think that's not what I see right now.
I think one of the last things I remember you saying in Memphis, we were talking about reflecting on those last few games and whatnot, you were saying that you weren't getting like plays called for you and things like that. Is this kind of what you saw, like this role that you're having now? Is this what you saw for yourself when you were saying like, that type of thing at that time?
Yeah, I still don't get no plays called for me. But, you know, I worked on my game and I'm able to get to my spots when I want to. And, you know, and I'm making shots. And, you know, and that just goes to the work that I put in the summer and the trust, like I said, from my coach and from the front office. And, and the players, you know, making plays and them. They challenge me during the game, so, you know, when I do get it going and they're loaded up in there and they pass the ball, as you heard Grayson Allen before you left.
All right, so any lies detected?
I mean, this is an interesting phrased over-under here. I guess not. I consider it still low-hanging fruit right now. What Dylan's right about is that Memphis has made some moves here where they've taken a step back. But if we're going to act like he should still be here, he's coming off a game. He had 22 shots last night. Mm. Got the win, scored 21 points on 22 shots. That's the green light. Mm.
Yep.
It's real easy to say, man, I should have been one of the guys, right? Coming off a game like that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You were at a point with Dylan Brooks where he had to be fourth in the pecking order with the way you were built. Now, we can discuss whether or not that was wrong, right? It was Bane, it was Jaren, it was Ja. Mm. Dylan, you were asking to do less. He had more of a role. in the years that came, it said with the direction you went, right? You with me here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You were asked to do less, and he was inefficient with it. Look what he does when he gets 22 shots. Is he going to get 22 shots once Jalen Green is back? And is it going to be a good thing for Phoenix then? Here's my point. I say it's low-hanging fruit because it's easy. Again, he's done this before. After wins, I think Drew pointed out, he's 7-2 against the Grizzlies now since he's left between Houston and Phoenix. Mm. It's easy to do this because the Grizzlies are obviously in a different point, at a different state. But to act like you should still be a part of it with what they acted, basically you couldn't trust Dylan anymore at the end, right? He wasn't with the program. We all agreed. Now, I've got a great deal of respect for the man because he is what he is. And frankly, he helped grow. He helped us move off, let's be real, the core four. And fall in love with this new young group that we said, you know what, this might be a group that could go to a title. Remember his edginess? I mean, we miss it now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what he was on the perimeter defensively, there's a great deal of respect I still hold for him. So I'm not going to sit here and let him frame this as all, boy, look at me, I'm gone now, and they're a mess because of it.
Mm. Right.
But yes, it's a mess right now, and it's easy to say that about the group. So he was not lying about that. If I'm going to pack all up of what he said, and sort of bottom line it, he's right. Not lying about that.
Well,
it's a mess.
I would say a couple of things. One is, agree totally with you in that he had to go somewhere else to grow. Like he was asked to do the things. Basically, he's not usually getting 22 shots a night, right? Like in Houston, he had to play a role.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, like he was happy to play that role.
It won't be 22 when Jalen's back,
right? It was he had to be humbled in a way, right? He had to be humbled in a way. Had to go somewhere else to experience that. But I also will say that the Grizzlies handled that really poorly because remember the whole Dylan Brooks will not be brought back under any circumstances.
Yes, he was also poking the Bears, poking LeBron.
He was.
He was walking away from pressers with Ja, by the way.
No, yeah. I mean, it was handled poor by everybody.
And frankly, you were at the same point with him. Can you trust him in the role you're asking that you are with Ja right now?
That's right.
It feels like.
Yeah,
can
no.
Can you trust
yes.
him? In the role he's in,
no,
which
look,
is obviously the front dog.
We don't need to, you know, revise history here. I mean, he was being left wide open in that Lakers series, was told not to shoot, kept shooting.
He couldn't hit a thing. Now, right. Again, I think Kleiman told him whatever. Remember Dylan's numbers, like 5 shots, 5 to 8?
Yes.
That's what the role was for him, and you yes. needed him to be efficient, and he could not.
He could not.
Dylan's a guy who needs the ball, needs shots
right.
to be effective offensively. And so it had run its course. And so
it had.
The part I push back on is him saying it's a mess because he's gone.
Right. No.
That's sort of being the theme of things.
Yeah.
And he's gotten to do that a lot because he's 7-2 against you.
Yeah. I mean, the mistake that the Grizzlies made was that they doubled down on the availability of Ja and Jaren. And
Stephen was broken up.
It had
run its course.
But it's amazing that both of those guys have gone on to be like super important contributors. On their current stop,
yeah, but Stephen, you know, not a starter.
No, he's not a starter.
Forward.
No, he's not a starter. But if he could have done just what he's doing in Houston now in Memphis,
now,
it would
yeah,
have been
sure,
worthwhile.
But it'd have been a reduction of role for him too, based on where he was at one point, right? Going from one to now back up to Edie.
Yeah
it would have been nice. But a lot of times, it's a new role for you. That's what it was for Dylan. It wasn't good for either party.
It was
time to go.
I do kind of think like guys come to Memphis and they just if they're not getting. You know, the lion's share of reps or minutes or shots or whatever, like it's easier for them to just say F Memphis, F this place. They go to like Houston or something and they're like all of a sudden willing to take a lesser role. I mean, I do think there's a lot of optical stuff going on there.
The bottom line is the organization has now put itself in a place where much of what Dylan said is true.
Yes,
it looks like they got ahead of themselves, yes. made some mistakes, and now it's a mess.
But the organization has opened itself up to that. He should take a little bit of responsibility on his own for the way that it ended. I mean,
yes.
especially on the court, right? I mean, he, you know, kept shooting, kept jacking shots. I mean, it wasn't like
it was personal, man. Remember yes. again the Utah series you lost. He's like your second lead scorer.
Right.
Him, and, you know, they're going. But he was the guy, and you're asking him to take less and less each year. You bring in Bane, all of a sudden he's watching him get stuff.
Yep.
I mean, it was personal.
Yeah, like if Dylan was going to be this guy that he is today,
yep.
he would still be a Memphis Grizzly.
It's that change of scenery thing, isn't it? It totally is. It's this change of scenery thing. It's going to happen with. It could possibly happen with Ja.
Could. I mean, Trae Young's going to average 50 a game for Washington.
That's right.
You know, I mean, now they're going to suck, but.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
he's going to try to torch Atlanta.
Sometimes that happens. Yeah. You know, guys just, you know, get to a place and
I like Dylan for what he is, what he brings to the table.
Agree.
But at that point, again, you let's be real, the culture was still up and down as it was. Right. We were trying to say we had one. We're walking away from press conferences after losses.
Right.
You already got Jai in and out. You got another one here you can't control with Dylan that was already at that point.
And don't forget, with Dylan, so, they only won one playoff series. I mean, it was all – it's the same stat. They've won the same – you know – so it was one with Dylan, and it was
ultimately that group had run its had run its course,
and this one has too, probably.
That's right. that's fair.
It's two straight groups that have run their course.
You're 0 for 2,
probably.
Yeah,
and you know what happens after two.
Well, I'm not mad at him. This is again. He's 7-2. He's got since he's
good
been traded.
Grayson Allen had 19 last night as well.
Another Grizz that performed well.
People love coming back to Memphis. And
LaRavia hit us the other night.
20
something, bro. LaRavia is another one that's like, what the hell, man. Because that was not the guy he was here.
Well, they could have picked up that last year.
They could have, and they probably should have. But it's like, man, that is the thing. It's like the guys that the Grizzlies mostly let walk or send off, they go to their next spots, and they just
kill it.
They become really good players again.
Yep.
I'm sure there's like Marcus Smart, maybe. Although
he's
starting. He's
playing minutes.
Playing better for the Lakers than he ever played for. Although that one, I think, was pretty predictable.
No.
That was like he was just.
GG is the one that you banked on too much in terms of should have kept one of those guys, LaRavia or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
GG's really the one. Vince, I still think there's something there.
Yeah, Vince, you know, didn't play last night, obviously. And I think that I said it against the Spurs.
Availability
game.
For him is becoming a thing.
It is.
On Vince, it's just.
Yeah.
Consistently being out there, but when he is, man, he seems like a dude.
Yeah, absolutely. So no lies detected.
No lies,
like you said, I mean, it's easy to say that now for sure.
All right, let's go to tonight's big game. I'm super excited about this, guys. I don't know about y'all. You've got number 10 Miami taking on number 6 Ole Miss. This is the semifinal in the Fiesta Bowl. Let's not forget this is still called the Verbo Fiesta Bowl, technically, but it's the college football playoff semifinal. We're going to have the game on 92.9 tonight, so hope you listen. -3 for Miami. Margin of victory for Miami from our insiders here on the board, -3.5.
Yeah, I don't think they cover 3.5. I think Ole Miss keeps it close.
Absolutely, keeps it close.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm so bad at predicting college football games. I have absolutely no idea who wins. But yeah, I mean, I think Ole Miss is impossible to fade right now with what they've done. So I think it's pretty easy for me.
Are they the best story in college football, or is it Indiana?
I mean, I think given the adversity that Ole Miss has gone through,
good question.
What Indiana's done is amazing. Making
it Indiana is like
the
building
school.
Of it
That's
is
great.
The story, right? Yeah. And Cignetti, obviously, but I just think, yeah, no doubt about it, in terms of everything those kids are up against, you know, with the, you know, obviously their teammate being shot and killed, unfortunately, in Cordova before the season started. Yeah. I mean, the fact that they are in the, I mean, it's Ole Miss football in the Final Four. Like, I remember when I was going back and forth with people about Lane Kiffin, and this is when he was going, like, he was rumored for Florida. I said, he's not going to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said, you can do the same things at Ole Miss you can do in Florida. And people told me, no way. You cannot win a national championship at Ole Miss. That's what they told me. They said, you cannot do it. Well, they're two games away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're two wins away from winning, and they're you know.
It's a winnable game.
They're an underdog tonight. I mean, I'm not, you know, I won't argue that fact, but they're in the Final Four. So don't tell me Ole Miss can't win a college football playoff when they're in the Final freaking Four of this thing.
Well, I think they might have I think they do have the most explosive quarterback in it. Now, he might not be the best NFL quarterback, and he might not be the best quarterback, but the most explosive guy, the guy that can take it over, Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah.
Because that's not what Mendoza does. It's not what Dante Moore do. You know? And so I think that's the thing. He can go off, and he has, and he might tonight. And that's why I'm with you. I'm going under here. If I can have Ole Miss in those points, I'd do it all day.
Let's flip it over to Indiana. Margin of victory, 3.5.
Dominance, they cover. I'm done. You go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dominance?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's what they've been all season long.
Yeah, man, that's a good team.
I kind of lean that way, but, you know, Oregon's defense worried me.
Was it 30-20?
Yeah, it was. And that kind of is part of it to me as well. It's hard to beat a team twice.
You picked off Moore twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless they've got some new game plan.
I mean, I agree with you. It's hard.
The Indiana defense has stepped up every single time.
Right.
That's what I'm banking on more so than Mendoza having to save them.
Yeah. Yeah. I lean that way. I mean, I could see it landing on 3. Indiana wins by 3. But if I was going to bet it, I would bet Indiana -3.5. Just because I think Cignetti is just that dude. He is that dude. He will scheme it up. Lanning's very good. Lanning has shown that he is a stud coach. But, you know, it's a little different going from that Texas Tech quarterback who looked like he was the worst quarterback that ever played in the college football playoff to the presumptive number one pick in the NFL draft.
Here's what I'll say. If Dante Moore has the explosive game we were just talking about with Trinidad against this defense,
yeah,
he's the quarterback you should take number one.
Well, I mean, that will happen.
And
that,
I don't know if you've heard Kiper on these two. He's almost down with letting this game have a, if one of them shows off.
Yeah,
because I mean, he's made them sort of 1A, 1B. He can't decide right now.
No, I think that's fair.
So
I
mean, just keep throwing him at you in terms of trying to make this decision already.
I mean, you're just looking kind of
Raiders.
You're just kind of looking for pros and cons, right? So whichever quarterback goes on to, you know, play in the championship, maybe win the championship,
Moore's
how do they
maybe
look in doing it?
Yep.
You know, I mean, I think that's definitely
a lot of folks watching tonight
fair
on that.
Yeah. I mean, Jaden Daniels wasn't really on radars until he had that Heisman year, you know? Nobody was really talking about him as a top three pick.
Not before we talked about it. He barely ranked.
It wasn't necessarily that team success, but it was, you know, I mean, he had
a meteoric rise that year.
College football accomplishments still matter. You know, like those winning awards or winning championships, like those things still matter.
Well, I think what Trinidad Chambliss is doing, especially at this point against this kind of competition,
has
got to mean something in terms of NFL. I don't care if he's 6 foot, 6'1".
Yeah.
But many are saying he might just be Kyler.
He's a winner, though.
Man.
Kyler Murray wasn't this kind of winner.
Not this kind.
Yeah. I mean,
there's something about
this
dude,
man. Look, he's going to be one of those guys that probably, you know, he might be taking a flyer on, you know, in the draft at some point. And then he's going to be in a, I could just see it, preseason game.
Well, they're going to give him the year back first.
Oh, that too, yeah, if he doesn't get his year back. But if he doesn't get his year, then I could see him being, like, on a preseason team, has a great game, gets on a roster, you know? Seems like that's the kind of guy he is.
I'd draft him before I draft Ty Simpson. I know that.
Wow. I mean, Simpson has looked bad. I will say that. I guess he's like
a some people added him as a bottom of a first rounder. I would.
No, I agree. Yeah,
I understand. Yeah. He hasn't. You
but
know, these
I
ones,
realize
tall
the size.
Yeah, he's
is
one of those.
The size on Chambliss is apparently an issue.
Right.
There aren't many little guys. Like, most don't think he's 6'1". That's what he's listed.
Yeah.
So we got to get him to the combine and all that.
We'll see. Yeah.
We want to do Memphis here. Memphis,
because
real quick.
I think this is absolutely, this is like a related discussion.
Yeah, like this was, I saw this morning because I think it popped up late last night. Starting quarterback signed by the University of Memphis and Charles Huff, Coach Huff, yesterday, 0.5.
So yesterday, while you were sleeping, it actually wasn't while you were sleeping, we were just off the air, Memphis landed a commitment from a Division II quarterback named Marcus Stokes. Now, a couple things you need to know about Marcus Stokes. He's white.
Oh.
All right, so a lot of people wouldn't know that on the front end.
Nobody else gonna start with that on any show except for this one.
So
let me tell you that.
I just want to get that out there on the front end.
You're okay. Thank you, John.
Well, race actually does matter with this guy.
It does. Yeah. It does.
It certainly does. Given what major miscue.
You just don't know a lot of white Marcuses. Although I guess we have Marcus, former intern here. Right.
Yeah. Marcus and I were texting about this guy because he certainly has tried to pay the price here and come back a full circle with this bad story for him.
Yeah. So Mark. So I don't know.
I'll let you clue him in.
I don't actually.
He did the old saying the racial slur, along with the song and was on video doing it.
Oh, okay.
And that is the reason, John, that his I think scholarship to Florida or offer was rescinded, and he ended up going the direction that he did. He was a four-star quarterback.
Yeah, I think it was Penn State.
Florida as well.
He flipped from Penn State to Florida.
Got it. Penn State
Florida
to Florida.
Ended up pulling it. He had to go, I think, West Florida or something.
Yeah, West Florida is where he's coming from.
Yeah, bro, it's the old, you know, can y'all say it,
Pens,
especially along with song,
and
get caught doing it.
Right.
He devalued himself.
Yeah, the story's out there about Florida pulling it.
Yeah, look, I don't know.
That was 2022. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean, he said a lot of I'm sorry's, and he's come out and done, you know, and had to go a whole different direction as a result of this. And keep in mind, he's coming to play for a blackhead football coach.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
Who would have had to talk about it and did, I'm sure, talk about this situation. Yeah. What have you learned since, you know, November of 2022 when basically, you know, Florida had to pull it from him? That's where he was headed, dude.
Yeah.
And again, a former four-star, this guy wouldn't be where he is if he had not made the decision he did.
Yeah.
No, that is exactly right. That is
said.
That is exactly
right.
He said,
I deeply apologize for the words in the song that I chose to say. It was hurtful and offensive to many people, and I regret that.
Yeah, I mean,
I fully accept the consequence of my actions, and I respect the University of Florida's decision to withdraw my scholarship offer to play football. That was back in 22.
Yeah. And again, that's 3 years. It was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not my place to forgive Marcus Stokes for that, right? It's not, you know, a slur at me.
We talk about these situations. It's the group of men, that's young men that you're going to be around. It's the head coach that you're playing for that's asking. And again, if Huff thought that this was an issue or that this young man had not grown from this situation, do you really think Huff, a black football coach, you got a black AD here too.
Sure, yeah.
Do you think they're bringing
him? Majority black
city. Do you think they're bringing him in?
Yeah, I think there's no chance.
No chance.
You know, I don't think we should be in an uproar about it.
No, we're not.
If your black head coach
says,
you know, basically in bringing him in, that this young man's learned something.
Honestly, it's a poor job of prep by me. I didn't even know about the Florida pooling of the.
Why he is where he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to come full circle and do the resurrection tour. You know?
Well, I mean, this could be, you know, I mean, Trinidad Chambliss was a Division II quarterback that committed to Ole Miss and obviously has gone on to do what he's done. So I think the timing of it is really nice in terms of, you know, hey, man, I know Division II to FBS might seem like a huge jump, but we just watched Trinidad Chambliss he's in the Final Four right now.
The dude looks like he's got a lot of arm talent. I watched some videos this morning.
He's not huge,
decorated.
But his arm talent.
But
he's also a dual threat, which is what Charles Huff said he wanted.
Yeah.
And was the number 14 dual threat quarterback in the country at one point. John, you're right. He was Penn State at one point. He flipped back on July in the summer of 2022 to Florida, and was headed that way until this got out, and basically everything fell apart for him publicly. Yep. He had to face this. Think about what he on social media at the time when happens.
Oh, for sure.
What, you know, and you got to fight. You got to go through that. You got to pay. Hey, you got to pay the price.
Absolutely.
And he's apologized again. I'm sure he and Charles Huff has talked about this. And frankly, it looks like you're getting on the football field a player that fits what Charles Huff is looking
for. That's right.
In his quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting I don't want to call it a discount, but like there is a personal transgression discount here because like we talked about, if he had not done that, he's at Florida. Maybe he's crushing it right now, you know, starting, who knows? So, you know, this seems like, hey, if everybody involved believes that he's, you know, learned and grown from this and will, you know, not do so moving forward, it'll be a good thing.
I just throw one of a Gators offensive line commit at the time when this was all happening. He thought he's going in with Stokes, right? And Stokes ends up out. Said prayers out to Marcus Stokes and his family on the rest of his education and college football decisions. This is after Florida pulled the scholarship. Great kid with a lot of heart. As young men in this society, we must be careful with the things we do, say, or post. Everything is under a microscope. And especially when you're talking about these high-profile positions. With big college football programs.
Yep.
So
yep.
That was 3 years ago. Well, almost four now, I guess. Coming up on 2026.
I mean, he's probably what, 18
three and a half,
years old.
I guess.
I'm not excusing the behavior. It's obviously you should never do that. It shouldn't be in your vocabulary, even in a song. But
you have to address it. You have to say, you know, what you've learned from it. He's done that now for 3 years. I'm sure he would have had to do it with Charles Huff, and here he is. So excited to see what he's going to do. Saw where Arrington Maiden picked JMU. Looked like afterwards. Memphis was one of his finalists.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if Huff decided, here's my guy, and maybe he still could have had
it. I mean, that's what this is, right? I mean, he's being brought here to start.
It looks like it to me.
Yes.
That, back to your question. Thanks. Yeah, because isn't that the question here on the over-under?
Yeah.
He looks like the starter.
Yeah.
It's a former four-star prospect.
Right.
It's what A.J. Hill was.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
This looks like the starter to me.
I think that's
and exactly you've got your backup with Denzel that he brought from Southern Miss, right?
No, there you
he's
go.
Already on he's already on the board.
Marcus Stokes,
looks like
quarterback, University of Memphis next year.
He's put up numbers.
Very intriguing. Very intriguing player. Very intriguing story.
I'm excited. I mean, you know, in terms of the video.
Not in terms of the video. That's the part I'm not excited about.
No, not the bad video, the good video.
The
like,
good
if you
video.
See it, not the one where he made the racial slur.
The film.
Yeah, best intentions here.
Yes.
The YouTube videos of him at West Florida are amazing. He's throwing 50-yard bombs.
I
mean, he's doing stupid, crazy stuff at West Florida, which you would expect at a Division II.
For sure.
But, yeah, the racial slur stuff, man, he had to go through it. I mean, 3 years in the dungeon here. So, clearly, like, to your point, Jason, he had to – I'm sure Charles vetted this heavy – and you probably still had to pay something, but probably did get a discount.
Here's the reality, probably.
Yes.
Is that it's not just him saying that he's learned something. The kid probably has learned something. He's learned something about being around black folks and being a leader when you got black folks in the locker room and everything else. And just think about the way he's had to operate since.
Right.
Yep.
With folks, knowing his history, having to lead a team.
Right.
I'm sure there were black players on that West Florida team.
For sure.
Guys. That eventually started to believe in this guy after he showed them, listen, I'm a person that's grown. The likelihood is he's grown.
Yep.
I'm sure Charles Huff determined that when he, you know, reached out to the kid, talked to the kid.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm assuming that, like, he was just, like, again, he was about, when he was a kid, he was in a locker room and he was comfortable and his teammates might have been cool with it, but you learn it's really a lesson in the internet, brother. Like what some people close to you may be cool with does not mean that's what the rest of the world is good with. And it was a hard lesson, and you know, I can only take Charles Huff at his decision, right, to bring him in, and he I don't believe that he would be doing that if he didn't feel comfortable with him, and the entire locker room was cool with it. So it's a majority black city, you know. I think everybody involved would understand the implications there. So.
Oh, it's super important that he's grown. Yeah. Super,
absolutely. So,
and my bet is he has.
Yeah, welcome in to Marcus Stokes. Seems like the starting quarterback at the University of Memphis. So, and again, I mean, it's not like he's got a, you know, a sexual assault charge or something that he's coming in with. This is a personal, you know, it's a slur that you know in a song that you shouldn't say, but. You know, we'll see. Kids grow up and things, you know, can change. So best of luck to Marcus Stokes here as he enrolls at the University of Memphis. All right, we'll come back. Drew Hill will join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies game last night, this Ja situation. Obviously, Oklahoma City coming in town tomorrow. Is Ja going to play? Like, when are we going to see Ja again? Talk to Drew Hill about all that and more on the other side. J&J, how are you trying?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
FM ESPN. Drew Hill is going to Germany. Covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He joins us every Thursday, and he joins us now. Drew, I do want to let you know that the game next week in Germany against the Orlando Magic, because I know we were worried about this, it's the most important thing. It's going to be at 1 o'clock Memphis time. So that because we will be in a new time slot, if you so choose, you would be, you know, good to join us there. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And if I can do it, I will do it. It will not be 1 o'clock in Germany. I can tell you that. So I will be very jet lagged, I'm sure.
Where are you? Are you staying in like a hostel? Like what's the accommodation look like?
It's Airbnb.
Be careful over there. I've seen a movie.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
No. Not. Perfect. I don't know.
I'm an Alabama fan.
Yeah. No, I've been the stupid American in Switzerland before, so like they speak German there. So I'm familiar with like what the language sounds like. I think it's honestly the strangest and most difficult one to like have any idea even what they're alluding to. So yeah, I'm gonna be lost over there, but you know, we'll make it happen. We'll make things work. It's an exciting trip, and I mean, Lord knows the Grizzlies have an awful lot going on right now, so maybe really interesting trip.
Yeah. So will Ja Morant be on it?
I mean, I would guess yes, right? And it's part of the complication with what seems to be a situation where you would expect the Grizzlies to at least be, you know, monitoring what's going on there. The league would certainly want Ja Morant to play in that game. That's a big reason why that the Grizzlies were, you know, invited to that game anyway. There is the connection of Isola to Germany and whatnot, but the coach isn't selling tickets. It's Ja Morant. So I think the league would have a lot of pressure on Memphis and on Ja to try to get him to play in those games. And you would think, based on the injury designations, although he's been ruled out at the last minute a couple straight games here, you would think he would be healthy enough to play in those games in Europe. Now the question remains, you know, what is Memphis going to do with the trade deadline? I think that's sort of what everyone wants to know.
Yeah, I mean, for as sometimes murky as things are or appear, at least to me and to us on the outside, with injuries with the Grizzlies, it does seem unusual, right, Drew, pointing to the thing you just said, that he's been listed as questionable, it feels like, for a couple of games in a row and then downgraded to out. You've made that last, game time decision not to play him. How odd is that to you? How much, how much attention should we be paying now, because it was both games of those back-to-backs when we were saying, well, maybe they're just holding him out for one.
Yeah, I mean, odd in terms of, like, are they doing it because they're considering trading him? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, getting at that. Maybe
Yeah. I mean, like, I think, no, maybe not necessarily odd, that the injury stuff in that case. I think at this point it just has to be understood that that's something that the Grizzlies are going to have to explore, right? We talked about this. Chris and I talked about this on our podcast, and you just land on the same thing. It's like, you're right. The Grizzlies people who talk on the internet, the Grizzlies have never publicly said that they would have interest in trading Ja Morant. That is true. But that doesn't change the fundamental situation that the Grizzlies are in, which is that they have a player who has two more years on his contract. They could let him play out the rest of the season and explore options this summer, but they can't go much longer with this player and not give him a contract extension or not try to trade him and get something back for him. Otherwise, you're going to end up in another situation like Dylan Brooks. So ultimately, the Grizzlies have to make a decision on whether or not they believe Ja Morant's a championship-level star player. And so far this season, if we're just going to call it like it is, not a personal shot, just basketball, hasn't been able to stay on the floor and has only been good in about half the games that he's been on the floor. So a player that's good in 25% of the games is a hard player to commit a lot of money to. That's the fundamental situation that the Grizzlies are facing right here, guys.
Can you put a nicer spin on it? I mean, we're trying to make this sound good to the next team, man. You got to.
I can put a nicer spin on it. Like, Ja Morant's the guy who scores 35 points, 40 in the playoffs.
There we go.
Right? Like, all you gotta do is get capable of that. He just doesn't give it to you enough right now. We're just not getting enough of it. And so the fundamental situation facing the Grizzlies is, like, here's this guy that just this season has not really done enough for you to warrant a huge extension. I'm not sure any team in the NBA would give him that level of extension right now, given the amount of games that he's played in. And now you have to make a decision whether or not that's somebody you're still willing to bet on as an organization to be the star of the future. And that is very murky, right? I think it would be extremely naive to think that the Grizzlies would not be at least looking around at this point. Maybe last year was a little bit too soon, but at this point, they didn't give him a contract extension this offseason. That signaled it right away, right? Zach Kleiman said it himself. He said, this is a big season for Ja Morant. There's some tea leaves to read there, but what he was saying was, we need to see something from Ja before we're going to commit. And so I just don't think so far this season they've quite got what they're looking for from Ja. And, it's going to make this trade deadline really interesting.
Drew, is there anything in your mind to be gleaned from the Trae Young trade? What was sent, not sent, right? Because at one point it was speculated you'd have to send a pick with him. Atlanta would have to attach a pick to send him out. Remember, at one point, ESPN's writing him, Trey, Ja, LaMelo, all got negative trade value, trying to group those guys together. Is there anything we can learn from if Memphis did get to this point where it's got to make a deal for Ja, we've decided we need to turn the page, that we can learn from what just went down in the Trae Young trade?
Maybe. I think it's a good starting point or sort of example to use. Although I hold Ja to, and I don't know about you guys, but I hold Ja to a higher value than a player like Trae Young. I think Trae Young is a pretty empty basketball player that fills a stat sheet, but doesn't really help the team win. I think if you watch what Ja does at the end of the game as a closer and what he's done in the playoffs with some of the performances where he's, put up 40, 45 points. I just think Ja is maybe a smidge at a higher level than a player like Trae Young. So So maybe you can get a little bit more than what Trae Young was able to get. But, I mean, again, it doesn't change the situation. Like, Ja's value is determined by whether or not he can be on the court and playing in basketball games, and he just hasn't been able to do that.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's why his value will not be as
– If I was pushing back just a little bit, yeah. Drew, it'd be the availability – because Trae, up until this year, didn't have the availability issues. At least right. He's out there with – I agree with you, Drew, hollow stats, but he's out there. Whereas with Ja, you've got the, okay, availability injury-wise, and then – just the moodiness.
The moodiness and the money. He is owed more money than Trae in an extra year, and one more year. So you have to go through two more years with Ja with availability concerns. That's why you'll have to – you might if you trade Ja, you might have to attach a pick.
Dude, look, maybe I'm naive and I just – or I hold Ja to a value that's higher than others because I've, you know, covered him since his first year in the league. But – I think if I was a playoff team out there, there's some team that feels like they are on the cusp of elevating one more ring that might say, hey, there's a guy, you're telling me there's a guy that scores 35, 40 points in the playoffs and he's a proven guy that can, you know, help not necessarily win, they haven't won series, but has single-handedly won playoff games. And if I'm Minnesota, I'm not at least thinking about whether or not that type of player can help me, you know, reach the next level. I think Ja is a different type of player than Trae Young. Like, I don't think Minnesota would have those conversations about a player like Trae Young. I think they would be willing to have those conversations about a player like Ja. So that's just a singular example, just because that was one of the teams earlier that was connected to him. But I do think that, you know, somebody out there can see the value in Ja. I think maybe the Grizzlies can will have at least some things to listen to if they indeed want to trade Ja at the deadline.
The two teams, Minnesota and Sacramento, that you're referring to, Drew, that have sort of been like publicly connected to maybe being interested in Ja. Okay, I just want to be along the same. And just in your mind, and I don't want to go too far down the road and like ask you, hey, let's go down the rosters. But in terms of better return potentially, knowing where those teams are, would you lean one way or the other with Sacramento or Minnesota?
I mean, probably Minnesota, right? Because Sacramento is in a different spot. And I don't know, like,
junk.
I feel more strongly informed on the Minnesota stuff. Like, I think the Minnesota stuff has, you know, like, I think that they did have genuine interest. And it also helps. It's been, like, reported by real reporters out there.
Right.
Where the Sacramento stuff is a little bit more loose.
Okay.
So I'm not sure the interest of the Kings. Maybe the Kings are really interested, but haven't – I don't know that to be the case.
The problem with the Minnesota deal – I'm looking at the salaries and I have the trade. Like, I don't know how this would work.
Well, Nas got to come.
I mean, right, they don't want to send Nas.
We'll have to.
I think he has a no trade. He can't be traded right now. Like, I'm trying to trade him and it won't put him in there. It's got like a restricted thing.
The one that Harrington likes is the, please Giannis, please stay in Milwaukee trade.
Well, I think that's happening because Giannis announced today that he's not going to request a trade.
Right. So I think Giannis is that's the one that, Chris Harrington has mentioned to me a million times, and I'll give him the credit for coming up with it. But
maybe the Bucks want to do something and give Giannis a little help.
Yeah, and I think there's, Ryan Rollins is an intriguing young player on that team. There's the Kuzma contract that you can use to try to match salary. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe this is all premature, but like,
well, I don't think it's premature.
In terms of when a trade may actually happen, but
right.
I do think that, this is going to ramp up and not going to go away over these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, if you take back a bad contract with Kyle Kuzma, it's definitely there's definitely some wiggle room in there. I mean, again, that wouldn't necessarily help the Grizzlies, but you're just moving on. You're rebuilding there. So as far as this team goes, in terms of what we do know, obviously the Thunder come in tomorrow night. They just got an overtime win against the Jazz. You know, this Western Conference, we thought the bottom was like, oh, no way you could fall to the bottom. It's so bad with the Mavs, the Clippers, and the Jazz. I mean, you're only two games out from 11 with the Mavs. You're only 2.5 out of 12. I mean, how far do you think the Grizzlies can fall this year without Cedric Howard, without Edie, without Jerome, without everybody in there right now?
How far can they fall? They can fall out of the play-in tournament. I just think that, you know, in a scenario in which they commit to rebuilding and they want to be bad, like,
right.
I think it honestly might be harder for them to be bad when you get guys like Ty Jerome and those players back. So, could they fall out of the top 10? Yeah, they could. Does it seem likely? No, it doesn't. It still looks like they're going to be a play-in team to me, especially if they do get bodies back. And, like, you know, Cedric Howard in an increased opportunity, you would expect would be pretty good. And the team can still be competitive, you know, given that, like, let's just put it this way. You know, if they did trade Ja, Ja has not played a lot for this team this season, and this team has still been good enough to beat the bottom dwellers of the league. I just don't think that's going to change, no matter if they decide to go a new direction at the trade deadline. So I think that they're going to still be in that play-in mix, but I suppose if they tried really hard, they could fall out of it.
Has Cedric Howard, from the time he started this year and what we expected of him and what we thought of him coming out as a prospect, and then what we've seen in these games, what, 34 games for him, and hopefully he's back quickly, because they were, I'm with John, they were feeding off of his energy and the way he goes. In terms of what he can be, Drew, has that ceiling gone up for you? Has it stayed about the same in terms of what he can be importance-wise to this franchise?
Ooh, good question. I think it's gone up. It's gone up slightly. I was a big fan.
You were.
Coming out of the draft, I was very high on Cedric Howard. I likened him to a Jalen Williams of OKC at that point. Yep. I've since circled back on that and really doubled down on it.
It's looking good.
I think he can be that level of player for Memphis. And so, yeah, I think he can be an all-star level player in the NBA, but I was pretty high on him before, so maybe I didn't know he was this good of a rebounder. Like, that's the thing, yeah, that's really impressed me, because the defensive rebounding percentage and offensive rebounding percentage are like elite for his position.
Yep.
And I believe they're like second highest on the team behind Zach Edey. So, you know, I just didn't expect that he was going to be that good at really having a nose for the ball and being a physical rebounder. So that has impressed me. So maybe the ceiling goes up a little bit, but I still feel like Cedric Howard can be an all-star. He can definitely form into the Jalen Williams type that OKC has.
And then I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. You just got Vandied last night. How does it feel to be taken to Vandyland?
Well, as you know, there was a Grizzlies game last night, and there was a guy named Dylan Brooks who was playing in the game. And so Dylan had my attention, so I did not get a chance to see the game. I saw that they fell behind early, that they came back at halftime or whatever, and then lost. But I think, what, we were missing a big, so.
Was he barking at you too, Drew? Was he saying, this is what you missed, Drew? This 22 shots, 21 on 22. Was he barking at you and everybody else in there?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was the one that told me, because, and I feel bad. I asked a really dumb question to Dylan after the game, because I was just thinking about the players that were on the floor and just who he was playing against over the course of the game. And Jaren and Santi were really the only ones that Dylan had a previous relationship with or played with previously. And so I was asking him, is it weird to go up against the Grizzlies, you know, where there's two guys on the floor that you played with and like the whole rest of the roster is new? And that's when he got into the they moved on too fast quote. But he also corrected me and was like, well, I played with Brandon Clark, and I played with John Conchar, and I played with Ja. So he was like, so they haven't really moved on from everybody. but they tried to get reinventive too fast. So, yeah, he was doing a little barking. But I will say this about Dylan. For the reputation that he has, he was always a really good dude in the locker room to the media. Like, he was always there was only, like, the one instances with the Lakers when he called LeBron old and really kind of got stuffed in a locker there. I think that was the one instance where he sort of, like, skipped out on us and
walked
was a little
out.
Difficult.
Yep, I remember that.
But outside of that, he was always really great with us. And, like, he remembered all of us. He was happy to talk to all of us last night, especially after a win. And, you know, so it is good to talk to Dylan. I'll admit, like, Dylan is one of the more fun personalities in the NBA and not at all like what he is on the basketball court as an annoyance. He's actually just a pretty happy and not that intense person once he steps off the court. But the interviews, obviously, he turns the persona back on for those.
Remind me real quick, Drew, on that, because you remind, did Ja walk off with Dylan that year and leaving Jaren to answer all the questions? Is that how that?
I believe they both did not answer. They both. I don't remember what game it was. And then Dylan did the Ja celebration last night, 3-point celebration with the grenade thing. And it came right after the two of them were, like, hugging and talking during stoppage.
Oh.
So I was really, really interested in what that conversation was about. Obviously, they're not going to say. But I imagine they probably had some interesting conversations last night.
I bet they did.
So you're going to Germany with Kevin Kane. You have a story with the Daily Memphian. Are you guys traveling in the same?
Down the same Airbnb?
Yeah.
No, not same Airbnb. I'll be with David Boyd, our sports editor at the Daily Memphian in the Airbnb.
He's cool to live with. I've done it before.
That's easy, right?
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
Good dude. There are some trips that you might take where, you know, sharing a house with somebody might be tough. David's like the easiest dude in the world. But yeah, I did write about Memphis tourism. There is more to come on some of that. Should be out, I don't know, today or tomorrow. But the baseline for that is Memphis tourism is traveling to Germany and the UK with the Grizzlies. They're kind of using the Grizzlies as the vessel here to go over there. I was very surprised and interested to learn that London is the number one place where we get international visitors from in Memphis behind Canada. Canada, obviously, the next door neighbor, but London is number two. And Germany in the Berlin area is actually in the top five. Now, obviously, a lot of people travel internationally.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.